We're going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but as we do, I made a promise to the Lord, and I'm going to keep that promise. He reminded me of it after last Sunday. You didn't keep your word. I got to keep my word. What I did was ask God many times, but I finally was on my knees, and I asked God to deliver us from an evil regime and to put someone in place who would make a difference for God's people, Israel, and this state, this country, this world. Realize that what we do here, I know you do, affects the world, not just us. Who we have as president and in these cabinet posts affects the world. We are still the one in the world to come running to the rescue when other nations are in distress, aren't we? We still patrol the seas and project naval power, air power, military might. As much as those in this evil empire have been trying to corrupt it, we're still there. We're still here. And so today, and I'm doing what I told God I would do, I want to say thank you, God, for giving us a new leader with morals and ethics and with the courage to do what's right. And thank you, God, for throwing out the evil enemy who so hates this nation and the God who made it. So we thank you in Jesus' name, God, and give you the praise and honor and glory for your deliverance, for you setting us free from the devil in the flesh. And glory be to God for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of this message is Living as a New Creation. I started to put a new person. It's out of 2 Corinthians, and we'll get to that new creation in Christ part. Let me read it to you, with you. I hope I brought the new. It just dawned on me. Did I bring the right Bible? I study several different Bibles and then try to determine which translation is best readable for that particular text. And once in a while, I've been known to, for whatever reason, you know, I guess it comes with time. I won't say age, just time. I grab the wrong Bible. And I come to church and it's like, oh, that's not the one I wrote this, that these passages are from. And so I sometimes have to borrow a Bible from someone, but today I'm okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, I hope. For we do not, this is Paul, God's servant, the Holy Spirit speaking through him. He said, we do not commend ourselves again to you, writing to the Corinthians, but to all of us. But give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. He says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ, get this, this is where we all are supposed to be. For the love of Christ does what? It compels us. And what does that mean? It makes us. We can't help it. It compels us, pushes us forward to the forefront. He said the love of Christ does this because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him, Christ, who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, he said, we regard no one according to the flesh. Take that to heart. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. So don't regard anyone according to their flesh. Watch their fruits. Watch their fruits. Watch their fruits. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, the basis for this message, the title for it came from this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does this tell you? In Christ, you're a new creation. I could probably sum this message up with this, but if I do a sum up, then you won't want to listen to all the other points. I worked hard to get these points for you. What really it means is this: I'm a new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm a new creation, and what's God saying? Then stop acting like an old one. That'd about wrap it up, wouldn't it? I'm a new creature in Christ, so why do I keep acting like the old one? Why do I keep just carrying on and denying the Lord's lordship of my life? So let's jump into this and take this first point and just ask, you know, ask God, ask Christ ask Jesus to free you. And if you're wondering what happened, I scratched another message right underneath what I wanted to say, and I can't read it. Ask Jesus to free you from being so upset. And I was scratching another note to myself, don't ever do that. They ran together, and I don't know what I wrote. So, but this is a practical message to fulfill being a new creation. You're going to find some practical stuff in here. Stop being so blasted upset. There's time to be righteously angry. But the scripture says, be angry and what? Don't sin. Do not sin. Sin not. You know? And he said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. What does that mean? Don't go to bed mad. You're supposed to go to bed glad. So don't go to bed all mad. You just, because it'll mess your sleep up, mess everybody else up around you. And then you'll get up in the morning and come to church and be all cranky. So you stop being so upset. What does that mean? Will you stop taking yourself and everybody else so dadgum serious? Life just happens. Stuff rolls the wrong way sometimes. Those of you who served in the military, you know quite well what I'm getting at. It just rolls downhill when you don't want it to. That's just life. You know, and we used to have all these acronyms I can't give you, but there's so many of them, but you know, and it was just things that just, but you roll and you learn to, you know, adapt, improvise, adapt, overcome. That's what we got to do in Christianity. Instead of moaning and groaning and complaining, don't take everything, everyone's so serious. Take Christ serious. But all this other stuff, good Lord, take serious, you know, yeah, take serious when you're voting and your church and, but there's so many people's little goof ups and silly things. Don't take it so serious. My goodness, life isn't all about you and me. It's about Christ. And people do what people do. That's what he's saying here. We're a new creation in Christ. The practical approach to living as a new creation is realize people are going to do what people do. Christians are going to do what Christians do, but lost people are going to do what lost people do. So don't expect them to act like Christians. Matter of fact, a lot of Christians act more like lost people a lot of times than Christians, don't they? And we all have our spells. There'll always be somebody who doesn't like you. And you're saying, well, Tony, how do you deal with that? Give us some psychological approach. I will. I'll give you a good pastoral counseling way to handle people that don't like you. Get over it. You can spend hundreds of dollars getting into the thousands, seeing a therapist on people don't like me and I just can't deal with the rejection. And you know what? Save yourself some money. Get over it. Ask Jesus to help you get over it. I mean it. Just get over it. There's going to be people don't like you. Do you think people like everything I say? Especially those that listen? No. Do you think wherever I go they like everything I say? You got to be kidding. Do you think I like everything they say? No, and I don't have to. They don't have to like everything I say. So get over it. So though your plans and your ideas, your opinion is not well received. It doesn't work out. Get over it. So your great idea, your great plan that you presented before your best of friends is laughed at. Get over it. So your mama gets in a fight with somebody at the grocery store because they said something about her baby. Get over it. What was it Jeff Foxworthy said one time? Oh, how do you know you're redneck? You know you're redneck if your mother gets in a fight at the Little League game. You know, people call me that from where I'm from. And I said, you know, Tony, it's just because of where I'm from. Isn't that something? I come from a place that sounds so hickish. I've wanted to change it, but they won't change the name of it. It embarrassed me for many years because people would say, where are you from? And I'd say, oh, up near Graham, Wichita Falls. Well, where exactly? Do you want to tell somebody that you were born and raised at Possum Kingdom? Really? Because you know that when you say that, this banner unfurls that says, hick. Underneath that, redneck. And then I've learned over time. Well, I guess Abraham Lincoln would have been a hick and a redneck, wouldn't he? I guess a whole bunch of our leaders would be. And yet, look what they've done. And if people judge you from where you're from or what kind of family you're from, or how many of your family's been in jail, then so be it. And if your mom gets in a fight at the Little League game, so what? Our mission is to go into the world and preach the gospel, making disciples out of those that are saved, that accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Our mission is to baptize them, name the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. Our mission is to teach them everything the Lord taught us. That's our mission. You know, we're here to help people. We're here to love people. That's what it's about. We're not here to get our feelings hurt all the time. We're not here to be constantly griping and complaining. We're here to be the people of God that Jesus wants us to be. We're here, in other words, to let Christ live in me, my hope of glory, and let Him, people see Him in and through me when I get control of myself. And I, you know, that one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. When I get that self-control, and you can get it, you can give it to the Lord. Quit losing your dead gum temper because things don't go right for you. It never will. And the more you lose your temper, the worse things get. You ever notice that? The madder I get, the more stuff happens to make me even more mad. That's the way it is. So you have to ask yourself, what's the point? We're here to love people. We're here to help people. We're not here to let people drag us into their stuff and don't forget it. Loving somebody and helping somebody doesn't mean I let them drag me into their, you know, their little quagmire, their quicksand that they're stuck in. Pull them out. This practical application, being a new creature, and I know that this is just practical application because we're letting things bother us and distract us from a mission, friends. Get a good sense of humor. Learn to laugh and move on. Won't you start laughing at some of the things you're getting upset over today? Every husband and wife, you know, if we wanted to keep count, we'd have enough, you know, it would have a scroll. Roll it out of all the issues and mishaps and bad words and stuff that was overlooked and we didn't do. Just learn to laugh. Get a sense of humor. Somebody calls you a jerk. In this case, reading this book, somebody calls me a white supremacist. I'd rather be that than a colored idiot. Whatever color you're talking about. I really had. At least God gave me a heart. He saved my soul. He gave me a mind. He gave me a love, even for those going to call me that. I won't like it. But I'd rather be that than a total fool. Hadn't you? Go ahead and call me that. Call me someone who's privileged. above all people? Really? I grew up with a farmer dad punching cattle for somebody else. I grew up in somebody else's house that was taken away as soon as he died. I grew up when dad died and we had to help pay the bills that were still owed because he had nothing. So if anybody wants to call me privileged, so be it. If you call that privileged, we taped up our shoes. We used what we could for belts. It got better when I was going into high school, but when we were kids, my Lord, we didn't have glass on our windows. We had a tarp that we pulled over them when it got cold. We didn't get windows till I was up in high school. So, you know, somebody wants to say you're a privileged kid. Yeah. Yeah, I'm privileged. I'll tell you what I am privileged about, and I make no bones about it. I'm not at all reluctant to say. I am privileged because Jesus Christ picked me out of the crowd. And he said, I have chosen you. You didn't choose me, Tony, but I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Amen. And whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. And what else did he say? He said, and what? And love one another. I command you, love one another as I love you. So I was chosen. I'm special as can be, and I'm very privileged to be a member of God's kingdom because I accepted Jesus when he knocked on the door of my heart and asked him to come into my life at 17 years old, and he's never gone away, and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I make no apologies for it, and I'm a child of the King, and I'm very rich in Christ Jesus my Lord, and I don't apologize for it. Now, secondly, ask Jesus to cleanse your heart and mind. Does anybody need a little house cleaning done here today? Is your mind a little bit cobwebby? I have a message I haven't brought in quite a while called Cobwebs of the Mind. But do some of you just have some stuff in your life that you really need to get swept out by the Lord? You might even need a little comet and some scrubbing. But the blood of Jesus would do that. Ask Jesus, really, to do what the psalmist prayed. Lord, search my heart and know me and reveal to me any unclean thing or, you know, anything that's displeasing to you. Have you asked him to do that lately? Lord, would you look in me and reveal to me, show me if there's something that's just really, really bad that's hurting you and hurting people. Are you honest enough with God and with yourself to let him show you in your heart some things that need to be cleaned out? Do you have some grudges, resentment, anger, temper issues? Do you have some sins you're not dealing with? Do you have some things you're just in denial of? The list could go on, and I'm not here to hammer you. I'm here to let God's Holy Spirit convict as he's had to work on me through this. I had to get down and ask God, please take some stuff out of my heart. I'm mad. I've been mad at some people. Not here, no. I'm talking about people in position. It's hard for me to get over it. It's hard for me to get over what they've done to our country. It's hard for me to get over all these purpose-driven guys who are building these empires to get rich. And have their name remembered, you know, and immortalized somewhere. And it's hard for me to get past that. And they write these books. They're nothing but snake oil doctors and quacks. They tell people that God's just going to bless them. And God's all for them. And a lot of their people that are listening to those messages are going straight to hell. And they're bad people. And they won't repent because they don't tell them they have to repent. I get angry. There just comes a time to sit down with God and just take a look at your life. and say, show me the unclean things. Show me where I'm cussing and raving. Show me where I'm judging everybody in the world. Show me where I'm not loving. And God, I'll confess it. Be honest enough with God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and say, God, I'll confess it. I may have to confess it 10 times a day till we get a handle on this. But God, you're greater in me than he's in the world. You can beat this thing. And some of you need to say, God, please go in there and show me the generational sins, the sins of my forefathers, the sins of my foremothers, the sins I inherited from them, and take that away and put it to death. And God, come into my life and search my heart and show me any obstacles that the enemy, the devil, the flesh, the world has created that's opposing you. Do you have any obstacles? Is there a fortress or two in your life? Maybe it's stubbornness, hard-headedness. Maybe it's drinking too much, eating too much. Maybe it's watching the wrong stuff. Maybe it's judging people, picking on people for their little faults and just exaggerating them. Maybe it's opening your mouth too much when you need to be praying. And on it goes. But let God come in and ask him. God, the obstacles I'm talking about, the scripture calls strongholds. And it says the word of God is mighty and powerful to pulling down strongholds and casting down high imaginations. Let me ask you this. Does your imagination get the best of you? Does your mind start going to evil, sinful things and you don't even know why? That's a stronghold. Get it out. Get it confessed. Let God deal with it. Because he wants you to be the best. He wants you to be without blame and holy before him. Get the good and the bad, the ugly. I was about to watch that movie the other night and I thought, no, it's a long movie. I don't want to see that again. Not tonight. There's something about the good and the bad and the ugly. It's just that it kind of works on me to make me want to be good and bad and ugly at the same time. I mean, I want to be Eastwood in the movie, but I see parts of me that kind of represent the other guys, you know? Ask God to take a look at your dreams and your desires and your feelings and the stuff you've done and the stuff done to you. And all that stuff needs to be cleaned out of your life. May I say to you, there's some things you need to cry out. You need to grieve out. You need to get it out of your system and you may have to cry over it. And yes, guys, manly men, men with a chest, there's some things we have to shed some tears over. I look in my life and there's tears that can come from my past, from mistakes I've made, from sins I've committed, and I just want to weep. From people I hurt, and then there's grief and tears from people that hurt me. From ugly letters, nasty, nasty emails. All kinds of things. And you have to grieve them out. You have to say to God, that hurts. That still hurts, God. Or that divorce hurts. Or that affair hurts. Or that ugly thing they did to me. My wife or husband, whatever it is, kids, work. And you have to grieve it. None of us are immune to tears. And to grieve him when it comes to the Holy Spirit and he does a breaking, heartbreaking work in our lives and says, I'm pointing this out not to hurt you, but to heal you. Give it to me. I forgive you. I want you to have a great power in you to forgive them with my almighty grace. Friends, it just comes that time to be the people that God put us here to be. We've got to reach in our little shoebox of stuff and the things we have hidden under the bed in the closet of our heart and pull it out. Okay, well, some of you may have to get a dump truck, but I mean, you know, it depends on how much you have, but how much baggage you're carrying, but that needs to be dumped out. And you know where you take it? You don't take it anywhere but the foot of the cross and say, God, take this garbage from my life. I want it where the blood drips down. I want it where it can be washed away and cast into the depths of the sea and removed from me as far as the east is from the west. Bring it and let him do that spiritual house cleaning, mental house cleaning, emotional house cleaning. Some of you, I'm afraid, might be, because I counsel a lot of folks out and around that are spiritual, well, I'm not, that they're emotional, mental hoarders. God's temple is filled with stuff. They can't even walk around it themselves. And it's time to let God clean it out. Okay, we've beat on that enough. Let's go to this last point. You ask Jesus to keep you a new creation every day. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ask Jesus, day by day by day, to keep me a new creation, and don't let me go back to that old, moldy, rotten stuff. Colossians 3, you don't have it up here, but I'm just going to give it to you. Just mark this down, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. The stuff for you to read later. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Everybody hear that? Set your mind on things above. Christ, God, His kingdom. That's what He said. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything you need here will be added to you. So put your mind there, and what does it say? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. So what is the teaching there? What is the commandment? He says, get your eyes off of yourself and off of this junk and everybody else's junk, and get your heart and mind in Christ Jesus and keep it there. Sure, things are going to be happening and said that will bring you down, but get back up quick as you can. And get vertical. Get vertical. Don't stay horizontal. Get vertical in your prayers and in your thinking. You're a new creation every day. And don't forget what God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. By the way, quit looking so much in your rear view mirror. If you have to, remove it. I don't mean in your vehicle. I mean in your mind. Quit looking back. What did Paul say? And when we say these people, what did the Holy Spirit say through Paul? Forgetting, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead. To what? To the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't you quit looking back at what could have been, what might have been, what should have been. I look back in my own life and I think of what should have been. What could have been. I start thinking about all the things that I would rather have done than this. And could have made a lot more money than this. I think of all those things that I could have pursued, wanted to pursue. I just couldn't escape God's persistent, sometimes nagging, Holy Spirit, who wouldn't let me do everything I wanted to do, but brought me to this. And then I tried to leave him, and he brought me back to this. Thank you. God can nag the pieces out of you, and he won't go away. You can't slam the door on him. He just walks through it. Where are you going to go? Jonah found that out. You can even get in the belly of a big fish, and God's speaking to you there. Man, when he wants you, he wants you. When he's after you, he's after you. But I think of all those things. I think of my military career. I think of giving that up. for this. I thought of medicine. But you know what I've really thought of? This probably won't surprise you. I love the stage. Before I graduated from college, I was in 23 plays. We performed all over Dallas. And I loved it. Well, you might still remember when I did a Ford commercial. Did that was on over at the other church. I just loved it. I liked the cameras and the lights. A lot of people say, Tony, don't ask me to get up and pray or do anything. It's scared death of it. And mine, the opposite. I'm scared to death if I don't do it. That's how God makes us, right? And I think of I was sent residuals. I was sent money from that Ford commercial for nearly a year. Because every time they ran it, I got money. Now I want to do another one. I could use some more. I was a lot younger then. Did a Kodak commercial. I'm not saying this to say anything, but that's what I loved. I liked doing it. It wasn't just money or fame or none of that. I like it. But you see what God did? What do you think He gave me the experience in all those different kind of plays? What was that for? I didn't know then. I was just having a wonderful time in college, doing school. You know, what do you think? You see it, don't you? Tony, I'm teaching you how to speak to people. I'm teaching you how to project, to let me reach to you through my Holy Spirit and give people your heart. I'm teaching you how to stand up there and not be intimidated by the devil or people that are cranky out there or something. You just get up and let go. I didn't know it. Every step of it was not for me to be an actor somewhere. It was to be a real, legit, spirit-filled human being up here bringing God's word to God's people. And so don't look back on things and say, I wish or I could have been or this or that. Why don't you look at it the way God sees it? No, I was using that to prep you for something else and then be using you in another way. My sister brought up to me not long ago, she said, why didn't you go ahead and pursue the acting field? She said, you were good in those plays. I said, because God, I didn't know it then, I know it now, He had a plan for my life. Gives you experience. The military taught me to lead. Had the ability already, and He enhanced it. And say, I want you to lead under pressure. I want to teach you how to recover from bad things happening and happening to people around you. Man, I didn't even get out of airborne school before I saw terrible pain and crashes. Parachutes tangled, people smashing. Couldn't even get out of training. And on it went. God, what's that for? Tony, it's so you can stand there with your people when they're suffering. And give them your heart because you've been there. You've seen it, smelt it. You know what it's like. And you're not going to be flinching and going, oh God, I can't handle it. No, you walk right in the middle of the muck and the mire and you be with my people. Friends, that's why we go through what we go through. So we're a new creation in Christ. And He puts us through hell sometimes so we can bring heaven to His people. You ever thought about it? Your hell is somebody else's heaven if you'll turn it to God's glory. I'm closing. I'm just about done. God says He loves you. He forgives you. He accepts you. As a matter of fact, He likes you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Don't ever forget this. Every day is a new day. It's a start over day. Don't let yesterday dictate today. And don't let today dictate tomorrow. Put it behind you. Move on. Get confessed. Get clean. Get filled with the Spirit. And move on as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Oh God, we pray that prayer and we say, deliver us from evil and the evil one. Don't let us be tempted by what we can endure. Don't let us be led astray. Don't let us be deceived by the enemy. But guard our hearts. Keep us in your spirit. Walk in the path you call us to walk as your dear chosen people. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. For yours is the honor, the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.